Our meeting, and this subject this morning is going to be persecuted and betrayed. And we're looking at the last day events, and we've been studying it for some time. We're continuing on in our series, and we're looking at when things really start to intensify, what will happen, what's going to take place. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24 told us these things. By the way, Mark 13, Luke 17, Luke 21, all parallel chapters. And it's essential that you read all four together in order to capture the full picture. But Jesus told us that we would be hated for his name's sake, and that they would actually be thinking they're doing God's will. It's unbelievable how people can be so cruel and so unkind and thinking they're actually doing what God wants, you know, requires of them. I don't understand the mentality of some people, but I guess that, you know, it's, I just think it's insane. However, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Our Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to come together to study. Please bless us and keep us. May your angels watch over us. Through Christ our Lord, I pray you'll forgive us of our sins. And help me, dear God, this day to speak forth the words of life. Guide us now and keep us. May the Holy Spirit abide with us. And Lord, may your mighty angels watch over us. Be with me now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at our first statement here from the pen of inspiration. And this one actually comes from Great Controversy, page 607 and 611. As I said, at this point, this statement, by the way, I would recommend you read the whole chapter. That's chapter 38 of the Great Controversy, this section here. Let me get it it's chapter 38 of the Great Controversy. You want to read that entire chapter. Actually, it's very interesting, 36 and 38. And of course, 37, talking about the scriptures. But if you go to those two chapters, 36 and 38, and read them connection with each other, I mean back to back, wow, what a picture you get. You really get a vivid portrayal of what's going to be taking place. The scene that is being set is the latter rain is falling, the loud cry is going out, spiritualism is being manifested by Satan in all forms. Deception of every kind is being brought forth. Under the unction of the Spirit, those who love our Lord and Savior, who are proclaiming the truth in a way that has never been done before in the history of the human race. The Sabbath message is going forth. People throughout the world are awakening to the realization that there's something to what's being said by the remnant people, the Sabbath keepers. And therefore, they then go to their ministers and others, you know, well, what do you think of what's being said? What's going on? And of course, every effort is being made, both by Catholics or the papacy and the Protestant churches, to shut down any type of conversation regarding this issue. You know, I find that very interesting if you study that out carefully. Whenever truth is spoken, whenever truth is counteracting an error, a lie, the enemy of righteousness always has to shut down the opposition. It's essential, because free conversation, open conversation regarding a particular issue that exposes the fallacy and the lies of Satan is something he cannot stand. So he has to shut down opposition. And by the way, just a footnote on this, we see the same tactics being done today with anyone who comes with a different view regarding COVID-19 and the crisis that we are presently in, especially with the vaccines. Anyone who has an opposite view than the established view is shut down, minimalized, criticized, ridiculed. And it's unbelievable. This is a clear-cut tactic of Satan, which tells you, dear friends, which tells you that what's going on with this COVID crisis, there's a lot of lies being perpetrated by the governments of this world, by the national media. Remember, the media is the one who sells the lie, right? They're the ones who sell the lie. And so it's pure propaganda. So you see this happening today. Well, that's what's going to happen at the end. So again, it's about conditioning people. What we're seeing today is preparing people to have a certain type of mindset. And I believe God is preparing his people to rise up and to stand for their convictions. And this is really a great testing time. I'm a firm believer in that. I am a firm believer that we are going through, as it were, a training camp, and that we are being trained either for or against what is about to happen regarding Sunday laws. I'm telling you, dear friends, the seed you sow today determines the outcome of what you will do tomorrow. Believe me, the choices you make now determine what you are going to do later on. Make no mistake about it, dear friends. Make no mistake about it. This crisis we are in today is nothing more than foreshadowing of what to be, what is to be. So this statement that I'm going to read to you is dealing with these issues. And listen very carefully now to the servant of the Lord. She says, as the controversy extends to the new fields, and the minds of the people are called to God's downtrodden law, Satan is astir. Again, once the minds of the people are agitated and awakened to the issue, particularly in this context, and this issue is the law of God, the Sabbath Sunday issue, man, Satan is astir. He knows he's got to get busy to shut down this conversation. Power attending the message will only madden those who oppose it. The clergy will put forth almost superhuman efforts to shut away the light, lest it should shine upon their flocks. By every means at their command, they will endeavor to suppress the discussion of these vital questions. And again, I'm reiterating the very thing I've just stated. This is exactly what's happening today. Any mention of any other opinion by medical science, doctors, you know, practitioners of any kind of nurses, anyone who does a video exposing the lies of the vaccines and the lies of COVID-19 and the lies of the lockdowns and masks and exposing Dr. Fauci and all the other propagandist liars out there. Anyone who exposes that, they are immediately shut down. They are minimalized. They're pushed aside. And it's unbelievable to me that that particularly some Seventh-day Adventists, how they cannot see this is just staggering to my mind. Just absolutely staggering. But I shouldn't be surprised. I should not be surprised. But it's just, I guess what it is for me, you know, for 30 plus years now, I can't remember how many years I've been involved in the work. What's amazing to me is that for so long we've been preaching these things. And now we can actually see for the first time how it can all unravel, and by the way, unravel rather quickly. And so I'm just, I guess, taken back, but I guess I shouldn't be at all. The church appeals to the strong arm of civil power, and in this work, papists and Protestants unite. And that's very interesting. Notice that in order to get this issue, you know, to prevent the people from listening to the truth, the other side, Protestants and Catholics unite. And what do they do, dear friends? They appeal to the government. Shut this thing down. We need help here because we can't debate these people on the scriptures because they know they don't have the word of God on their side. And what's interesting today, notice even now, even at this time, you see another direct parallel. And what's being used to force people to take the vaccine? You see government mandates. I mean, the government is mandating these things. Forcing you to put a mask on, forcing you in some cases to take the vaccines and so forth and so on. And it's unbelievable. You see the direct parallel. She goes on to say, as the movement for Sunday enforcement becomes more bold and decided, the law will be invoked against the commandment keepers. So eventually, as the movement goes forward in pushing Sunday legislation, eventually they're going to need legislation attached to that directly comes against the Sabbath keepers, okay? Those who keep the Ten Commandments. She goes on to say they will be threatened with fines and imprisonment, and some will be offered positions of influence and others rewards and advantages as inducements to renounce their faith. And by the way, again, this is a direct parallel to what's happening today. This is a direct parallel. Notice if you go back and think about the crisis we're in. Think about it now. It's been a year and a half or so, but think very carefully about what's been going on. In the beginning, they brought this COVID crisis on and unleashed a biological chemical virus. And dear friends, that brought fear to so many people. So many people. because the national media sold what was going on. You understand? They sold the lie. They hyped up the crisis. Okay? And so people were eager to get the vaccines. They were eager. They couldn't wait to get the vaccines. Now, I will admit, and many of them, there are people coming out now doing videos and YouTubes and with Twitter and all the rest, Facebook and whatever else they're doing. And they are now regretting their decision. However, in the beginning, people were eager to jump on board. Then there always is a group that is hesitant. And so what happened? Well, so you started having the local government and state governments, they started offering incentives. Corporations incentivized the vaccines. Look, if you get a vaccine, for example, I'll just share with one. You know, Krispy Kreme donuts. I don't know if you guys have them over there or not. I don't know, but it's a donut shop over here in the United States. They said, well, you get a vaccine, you get to have a donut for, once a year, I don't know, or one every day, I don't know what it is. But you get it for a year, you get these donuts. And then other incentives, $100, tickets to sporting events. Well, I think in one state they're even offering free marijuana. Now you think about that for just a moment. Now, COVID is a respiratory virus, and they're going to offer marijuana to people to get the vaccine so they don't get a respiratory virus, and they're going to give them something to smoke. That shows you the insanity. And by the way, that just exposes the fallacy. It shows the blatant lies they're trying to cover up. So the very thing that they're doing today, it's what's going to happen later on. And by the way, the third phase, very interesting. It's all in this one statement. And you notice they're doing it even today. Now they're mandating. In other words, some people realize they saw right through that incentives. You know, we'll give you $50. You can have groceries and this and that to get the vaccine. And of course, people around the world realize, man, that's a con job. That shows how weak their arguments are. When you have to give somebody a donut to get a vaccine, that tells you everything you need to know. And then the third phase, very interesting, is mandates. Now they're forcing you to do it. They're threatening you. And in Australia, dear friends, all you have to do is look at Australia. And New Zealand, but Australia is worse. They've already got detention centers set up. I mean, they already have them. They're showing them on the news. Detention centers are set up for those who are high risks to society. Now, these detention centers, dear friend, let's be frank about it. They're nothing more than concentration camps. And they've already got them set up. The military's been called out over there in Australia. They've got helicopters going around and calling people in certain locations of Australia. They can't even go out of their houses without their permission. Not in your yard. They can't go out of their houses. They're mandating. They're threatening. They're imprisoning people. This is already happening. And let me tell you, dear friends, that's what's going to happen again. When the Sunday Sabbath issue comes out, you know, there are some people who are going to be eager to keep Sunday. They're just going to be eager. Yeah, let's do it. This is the right thing. We got to stop this calamity, this crisis we're in. And remember, the parallel is exactly the same. What's happening today is going to happen again. In this situation that we're facing, the crisis, and I put these in, but the crisis is COVID, this virus, right? That's the crisis they've been selling. At the end of time, the crisis is the calamity of society, earthquakes and famines and pestilence and various things are going on, wars and rumors of war. All of these things are happening and intensifying, and this becomes a great crisis. So much so that the people clamor for Sunday laws. Now the latter rain is falling, the loud cry is going out, and the proclamation of the three angels' message is going forth. What happens, dear friends? Satan is astir. He intensifies his opposition. He moves upon Protestants, apostate Protestants and Catholics to unite together to go to the state to shut this thing down. And so what happens? So there are people eager to keep Sunday. Then there are those who are saying, well, I don't know, man. This is kind of crazy. This doesn't make any sense. And what does Sister White say? She says they will be threatened with fines and imprisonment. Some will be offered positions of influence and others rewards and advantages. For what reason? To renounce their faith. So inducements will come. In other words, rewards. Look, I tell you what, come on. What difference does it make? Yeah, it's, you still can go to church. All right, so it's not Saturday. So what difference? You still go to church? Hey, keep your job. I'll give you a promotion. I'll give you a reward. What do you want? Tell me. You want some donuts? I'll give you some donuts. You're making a bigger issue of it than it really is. They're downplaying it, so they're giving you incentives. And if that doesn't work, what's going to come? Mandates. We're going to force you to keep Sunday. The exact thing that's happening today, dear friends, the exact thing. All you have to do is take COVID out as an issue, put Sunday Sabbath issue in, and you got the same scenario. It's exactly the same. I don't understand why, you know, for over a year and a half, I've been preaching this. I've been pleading with people. I've been going around as far as I can, wherever I can, and sharing these things. But, you know, with some people, I'm telling you, it's like talking to a wall. I don't understand what it is. For over 30 years, I've been preaching this. And I'm telling you now, you know, if Dr. Standish and Ron Spear and others who were alive today, Joe Cruz and others that I used to preach with, if they were alive today, they'd be in the forefront. They'd be in the forefront of warning people. I have no doubt in my mind they would be in the forefront of warning people of the dangers that lie ahead. But you get some Seventh-day Adventists who go on their Twitter accounts and whatever they tweet or blogs, whatever they do. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, I'm not on them, but I sometimes get, you know, the opportunity to see what some of these people are saying, the arguments, their positions they share. And I'm telling you, dear friends, they don't know what they're talking about. They absolutely don't know what they're talking about. It's insanity run amok. We are in a crisis that's a prelude to what's coming, and the very steps they're taking today are the very steps they'll take when Sunday Sabbath issue hits. There's no difference, except, dear friends, when the Sunday Sabbath issue hits, it's over, because the decisions you make then will determine your eternal destiny. And I mean in terms of the finality of it. There's not going to be a second chance. That's why I say today, I praise God. He is wakening up His people. He's trying desperately. Remember in the parable of the 10 virgins, remember that, dear friends, they all fell asleep. The 5 foolish didn't fall asleep and the 5 wise stayed awake. That's not what the scripture says. They all fell asleep. And then came a midnight cry. A midnight cry is an awakening cry, a cry to wake up, wake up, wake up before it's too late. And I believe we're at a midnight cry event, to be very honest with you. I believe the Lord's allowed this to come to awaken His sleeping church, to open their eyes to see how quickly this world can change and how quickly we can go into a Sunday law issue. But it saddens my heart when I hear Seventh-day Adventists, particularly those who are claim to be in the ministry, you know, saying the very opposite of things. Basically, calm down, take it easy. This is not the Sunday law. And I can tell you this, I've never said this was the Sunday law. I said it was a prelude. I said this is exactly as scripture lays it out. It's exactly as the spirit of prophecy foretold us. All these things, dear friends, why is it that we're caught off guard? I'll tell you why some people are, because they're not studying. They're not reading their Bibles. They're not praying, and they're not spending time in the spirit of prophecy. And I can tell you this right now, a lot of people are wholly unprepared, wholly unprepared. This event has shown me, first and foremost, within myself, I need to get my life right with God more so than ever before. And I can see in areas of my life where I've been playing with God. You know, it's like the parable in Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the two servants. At the end of the Matthew 24, He talks about two servants. One is a wise servant, the other is an evil servant. And the evil servant says, "My Lord delays His coming." And you go and look and read that, dear friend. Look it up and read what that means when He says, the evil servant said, "My Lord delays His coming." That means he procrastinates. That means he's indifferent to his needs, spiritual needs. In other words, dear friends, he goes about doing the thing he's always been doing and doesn't really consciously care about his spiritual life. And so by his actions, he's saying, "My Lord, I got time. I got time. I got nothing to worry about. The Lord delays His coming." But the wise servant goes about doing his father's business. And dear friends, in the parable is very interesting because he's talking about prior to that, if you look, he says, "One shall be taken, the other shall be left." He's talking about that in the church and in the world, there's only two groups of people. There's only going to be two groups of people, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ and those who don't. And in the church, there's only going to be two groups, those who love Jesus and those who don't. And it all comes down to this, dear friends, in that one last parable, he talks about how the wise and the foolish servants. This crisis is revealing, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's revealing who are the wise and who are the foolish. And now, while probationary time lingers, while our blessed Lord is in the most holy place, the heavenly sanctuary, finishing up the work of his ministration, listen, dear friends, it's now's the time to seek the Lord while he may be found. Because that implies, dear friends, there comes a time, no matter how hard you seek the Lord, there will come a time where you cannot find him because his mediatorial work is finished. While opportunity presents itself, you should take advantage of this. This is an opportunity for you to wake up and to get things right with God and your fellow man and armor yourself with the robe of righteousness. Dear friends, Jesus Christ is coming back. And unless we get serious, stop playing, church. And you know, if you're honest with yourself, deep down inside, if you're honest with yourself, you know full well whether you are a hypocrite or not. You know it. If you're honest, and that's, of course, a big if. That's what, if you want to see yourself as you really are. And it's better to see yourself as a hypocrite now than later on. And so the very things that are happening today will happen again in the future. So they're being threatened to renounce their faith. She says, but their steadfast answer is, show us from the Word of God our error. Amen. Notice what they're appealing to. Show us from the Word of God where we're wrong. Show us. You know, again, it goes like what's happening today. You know, those who refuse to go along with the mandates and all the vaccine, they say, show us from science where we're wrong. And you know what? You can't. You know what happens, dear friends, when you start to look at the evidence? It's mounting. It's now mounting overwhelmingly on the side of not taking those vaccines, of not complying with the mandates and the masks and all the rest. That's shown to be a blatant lie. There are natural remedies and other medications that you can take that will conquer this virus. The vaccines don't work. That is overwhelming. So, but their steadfast answers show us from the Word of God our error. The same plea that was made by Luther under similar circumstances. That's what Luther did. Show me from the Word of God where I'm wrong. Those who are arraigned before the courts make a strong vindication of the truth, and some who hear them are led to take the stand to keep all the commandments of God. And by the way, again, notice eventually, because they're threatening the saints with punishment and so forth, eventually they're going to be brought before the courts of the land to be tried for their crimes. Of course, you know that they're not committing any crime. You understand that, right? And this is a very important, by the way, I want to recommend something. Please hear me. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I'm going to recommend this to you. There are three articles from the Signs of the Times, okay? Three articles from the Signs of the Times. I want you to get these references down, and I'm going to recommend them to you. The first one, this is from Signs of the Times, April 29, 1897, okay? That's the first article, and that's entitled, A Lesson from the King of Babylon. It's all about the dream Nebuchadnezzar had. Well, I don't want to give it away, but read it because it's dealing with God's people, and particularly what's going to happen in the last days. The second article is Signs of the Times, May the 6th. This is the following week. All three articles, by the way, are in the Signs of the Times, and they happened consecutively. And the next one is May the 6th, 1897. It's called God's Care for His Children. And again, it continues on with the previous article and how God will take care of His children in this crisis that's going to come. I'll tell you, you gotta spend the time. Please, come on, friends. You can do it today. It's a Sabbath day. What a wonderful time to spend time in the spirit of prophets. Only three articles, and they're not like they're 60 pages a piece. Come on, you can read these articles. And then the third article is Signs of the Times, May the 13th. This is the following week of 1897, and it's entitled, We Ought to Obey God Rather Than Men. And those three articles, I'm telling you what, you're going to have an eye-opener. You're going to have an eye-opener. And these are encouraging articles, okay? But let me tell you this. We ought to obey God rather than men. When the crisis comes, dear friends, and we're brought before the courts of the land, you're going to have to stand. You understand? But the decision you made prior to that determined whether or not you're going to stand. Having said that, listen to me. There comes a point when rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. When governments demand of you to do something contrary to a plain, thus saith the Lord, and violate your religious and civil convictions, conscientious objections, right? You're consciously objecting to this thing. And when that happens, dear friends, you've got to decide who you're going to obey. You're going to obey God, you're going to obey the state. And that's why I'm telling you today. No, today's not the Sunday law. No, of course not. What I've been pleading with people for the last year and a half is I've been telling them, this is all preparing you. It's conditioning society. And that's where we're at. And you've got to realize, dear friends, this is a critical time. And again, I'm not saying God can't postpone the what's coming. He can do that. As a matter of fact, we're told in the spirit of prophecy, we should pray that God delays the crisis so that we can have more time to spend and devote ourselves to getting ready and sharing our faith with others. And let's pray that that happens. I mean, really, truly, we should actually pray that God does that. However, you know, look, there comes a point where what's going to happen is going to take place at a given time when God appoints it to take place. So we got to realize that. So they will come and there will be people who will be convicted, converted, and they will take a stand for the commandments of God. Thus the light, she goes on to say, will be brought before thousands who otherwise would know nothing of these truths. An opportunity to share our faith. And again, this is why I'm talking about the crisis that we've been under for the last year and a half. We as a people, the Seventh-day Adventist people, had an opportunity to share our faith. We could have shared with the world the wonderful message of the health message and the right arm of the gospel, how we could have shared with them, look, we've got solutions to this COVID crisis. And instead, you know what we're getting? I'm telling you, dear friends, it's an outrage, an absolute outrage. Our church fundamentally folded up and we went along and encouraging people to take the vaccines. I've yet to see an article from our leaders encouraging people about the health message. Instead, no, take the vaccine. That's the way to go. The mandates. Nope, nothing wrong with that. Shutting things down. And the Religious Liberty Department is going so far as to say that those who are being fined and imprisoned and then threatened with punishment because they refuse to go along for whether it's religious reasons or otherwise, they are actually in agreement with it. And they are saying that's good. Yes, you should be punished for what you're doing. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that our own Religious Liberty Department would even think of such a thing. Friends, that's persecution. I don't care whether you agree or disagree with the vaccines. Let's put that aside. How can you possibly suggest that people should be persecuted for their religious convictions regarding this issue? It is absolutely appalling, appalling. And by the way, if that this article, you can find this, by the way, if you'd like to get it. This is back in August 12th of this year by Nicholas P. Miller, where it says, this is the article here. Let me get it up there really nice and close for y'all so you can see that. And I would recommend you go down and get that article. It's The Pandemic, Freedom of Conscience and the Priesthood of All Believers. It's a commentary on it. And in there, this article tells you that they have no problem with you being fundamentally persecuted for your convictions. Unbelievable. It's appalling. We have reached an unbelievable time. Unbelievable time. Well, let's continue on, shall we? She goes on to say, conscientious obedience to the word of God will be treated as rebellion. And again, that's very interesting. Conscientious obedience. Notice, it's not just obedience. Their conscience is causing them to be convicted on the Sabbath issue. Just as others who believe that they today, who say, you know what, I'm exercising my conscientious liberty. I don't want to take the vaccine. Whether they believe it to be religious or not, you cannot interfere with one's conscience. And that's what the reason why that article I just shared with you is absolute heresy. It is an abomination. It is a disgrace that Seventh-day Adventists, in those in the Seventh-day Adventist Church who are suggesting that it's appropriate to be punished because someone wants to exercise their conscience. And what's interesting, and it goes on even in the article, and others are saying this, well, you're a threat to society. You're a threat to society. That's the same arguments they're going to make when the Sunday Sabbath comes. You people need to be persecuted and need to be done away with because you know what? You're the ones bringing all the problems in society. You're the one that's the cause of the calamities that are taking place. The unvaccinated are not the problem, dear friends. It is now proven, scientifically, it's proven the vaccines don't work. It's proven. And so conscientious obedience to the Word of God will be treated as rebellion. And that's what's happening even today, even in our own church. Those who say, you know what, I consciously don't want to take that vaccine. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to go along with the mandates. I don't want to do that because it's a violation of my conscientious convictions. Listen to me. They're treated with disdain even in our own church. That's a disgrace. I mean, really, truly, dear friends, how can anyone not see this? She goes on to say, blinded by Satan, and that's exactly what's happening. These people are blinded by Satan. The parent will exercise harshness and severity toward the believing child. The master or mistress will oppress the commandment-keeping servant. Affection will be alienated. Children will be disinherited and driven from home. The words of Paul will be literally fulfilled. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Remember that, dear friends. Remember that. Those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow their conviction, listen, dear friends, are going to be persecuted. And family members are going to betray one another. I'm going to tell you a story. This happened in Australia. Husband and wife had two children. And the wife is a pharmacist, and she's involved in the medical work for some hospital. Her husband did not agree with the vaccines and was questioning what was going on, the shutdowns, the masks, and so forth. Now, this is a true story. I've read the article. It's insane, but it's true. The wife called the authorities, had the husband arrested, and sent him to a psych ward. He's in a mental institution. The wife turned in the husband. This is done, now listen very carefully. This was done while the Holy Spirit is abiding with man. Imagine what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit is withdrawn. You don't think it's going to be any better, do you? That's why we should pray that God gives a reprieve. Because, dear friends, if there's no reprieve with this crisis that we are presently in, that means it's going to go from this to worse. You understand that? That's where we're headed. In other words, there is no gap in between. It's going to go straight from where we are now to escalating from bad to worse until we hit Sunday laws. And if Seventh-day Adventists don't wake up, I'm telling you, dear friends, the majority of the church triumphant is not in the Seventh-day Adventist church. They're in the world. Many in the church today, sadly to say, are going to throw away eternal life all because they refuse to wake up. As the defenders of the truth refuse to honor the Sunday Sabbath, some of them will be thrust into prison, some will be exiled, some will be treated as slaves. You can see how bad it's going to get. To human wisdom, all this now seems impossible, right? Oh, nah, come on. Yeah, that's insane. That's crazy. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Wake up. She says, to human wisdom, all this now seems impossible. But as the restraining spirit of God shall be withdrawn from men, and they shall be under the control of Satan, who hates the divine precepts, there will be strange developments. The heart can be very cruel when God's fear and love are removed. That is absolutely startling. As the storm approaches, a large class who profess faith in the third angel's message, but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth. And that's the key, dear friends. They're not obeying the truth. Sanctification is nothing more than the process whereby one chooses to obey God. That's it. There's sanctification. You understand? Sanctification is the preservative that keeps you in a justified state with God. The early rain is for you to overcome your sins. The latter rain is not for the overcoming of your sins. You understand that, don't you? We're in the early rain, but I'm telling you this right now. Soon the latter rain is going to come. And you're not going to be a partaker of the latter rain unless you have, through the early rain, overcome every defect in your character. And I know some people say, well, brother Ray, are you perfect? Are you the one? Yeah, you know what? Let me say this to you right now. Don't worry about anybody else. You understand? You take a good look at yourself. Stop measuring yourself based on what others are doing or not doing. Listen to your friends. It's coming. It's coming. They have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth. Therefore, what happens, dear friends? It says, she goes on to say, they abandon their position and join the ranks of opposition. You know what we're talking about, friend? Seventh-day Adventists. Former Seventh-day Adventists. They're going to abandon their position and join the ranks of opposition. They're going to join Sunday keepers. They're going to keep Sunday law. They're going to go along with it. Why? Because in the beginning, they're going to be scared. Some people are going to keep it out of fear. Some are going to be take the inducements. You're going to make me rich, famous? Oh, I'll go. Okay. And they'll take the inducements. And then if that doesn't work, they're going to threaten you with imprisonment, exile. Some will be put to death. Matter of fact, according to Revelation 24, verse 4, there are going to be many martyrs. She goes on to say, by uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, the spirit of the world. You can barely see the difference between Christianity and the world today. Barely see the difference between the two. That's because in the Christian church today, many, many are nothing more than partakers of the spirit of the world, only garbing themselves with a veneer, you know, Christianity. That's all they have. They don't have a real Christianity. They have come to view matters in nearly the same light. Notice they think the same. They act the same. They talk the same. They come to view matters in nearly the same light. That's why it scares me today when I hear Seventh-day Adventists talking almost exactly as the world is talking regarding this crisis. They are talking almost exactly the same way. Why? Because, dear friends, sorry to tell you that many of them, not all, many of them have the same spirit. They have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared. Notice, they are prepared. That means prior to this, they were making choices. They are prepared to choose the what? Easy, popular side. Just as it is now, so it will be then. It's not easy to buck against the tide, is it? No, it's not. The decisions you're making today, dear friends, decisions you make today are preparing you for what's coming tomorrow. Men of talent and pleasing address who once rejoiced in the truth employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. Woe be to those people, and may God have mercy upon me. I pray to God he put me to the rest before that ever happens. The mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. Notice they become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. When Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith, these apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and by false reports and insinuations to stir up the rulers against them. In this time of persecution, the faith of the Lord's servants will be tried. They have faithfully given the warning, looking to God and to His word alone. And that's the key, dear friends. That's where it's going to be brought down to. This crisis is teaching me, and I'm sure many others, I have no doubt, friends, is teaching us to look to God alone, His word alone. Friends, the word of God and Jesus Christ, that's it. That's all you've got. You understand? You cannot trust anyone at this point. Jesus alone, you're going to have to look to Him. God's Spirit moving upon their hearts has constrained them to speak. Stimulated with holy zeal and with the divine impulse strong upon them, they enter upon the performance of their duties without coldly calculating the consequences of speaking to the people the word which the Lord has given them. They have not consulted their temporal interests, nor sought to preserve their reputation or their lives. You know what would happen if you sat down and actually thought about what you were about to do and realized that if I do this, I may lose my business, I may lose my job, etc., etc. You won't do it. And so these people are constrained by the Spirit of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and they go forth. They're not taking into consideration anything other than the proclamation of the truth because they love their Lord and their Savior. Yet when the storm of opposition and reproach bursts upon them, some, overwhelmed with consternation, will be ready to exclaim, had we foreseen the consequences of our words, we would have held our peace. Man, oh man, it must be fierce opposition that's coming their way. You can only imagine the intensity of the storm. They are hedged in with difficulties. Satan assails them with fierce temptations. The work which they have undertaken seems far beyond their ability to accomplish. They are threatened with destruction. The enthusiasm which animated them is gone, yet they cannot turn back. Then, feeling their utter helplessness, they flee to the Mighty One for strength. They remember that the words which they have spoken were not theirs, but his who bade them give the warning. God put the truth into their hearts, and they could not forbear to proclaim it. Amen. The same trials have been experienced by men of God in past ages. Wycliffe, Huss, Luther, Tyndale, Baxter, Wesley urged that all the doctrines be brought to the test of the Bible and declared that they would renounce everything which it condemned. Against these men, persecution raged with relentless fury, yet they ceased not to declare the truth. Different periods in the history of the church have each been marked by the development of some special truth adapted to the necessities of the people of this time. And you know, again, I'm going to tell you something, dear friends. This crisis that's come upon us at this present, you know, this is a health issue. And I think God is waking people up, not just waking the world up to the health message. I think He's trying to do it. I really do. I think God is trying to wake people up to the health message because it's the right arm of the gospel. And friends, the health message prepares the way for the proclamation of the three angels message. This is a great opportunity to be sharing people the health message, natural remedies. What a great opportunity God has given to us. But with some people, it just doesn't seem to make any headway. So there's always a special truth for every period of time. Every new truth has made its way against hatred and opposition. Those who were blessed with its light were tempted and tried. The Lord gives a special truth for the people in an emergency. Who dare refuse to publish it? He commands His servants to present the last invitation of mercy to the world. They cannot remain silent, except at the peril of their own souls. Christ's ambassadors have nothing to do with consequences. And that's a key thing. Let's be honest, dear friends. Today, many people are taking into consideration the consequences of their actions. But we can't. I'm not saying we should be foolishly go about our lives. However, when the loud cry goes out and the finishing of the message, the consequences to our lives means nothing to us. At least it shouldn't. And I'm not saying we cease to be human, but we've got to realize the consequences, dear friends. We've got to leave that with God. It's hard. I know it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy sometimes. It's very hard because we want to make sure we control what's going on so that nothing goes awry on us. But listen, we got to realize, dear friends, we have to leave the consequences with the Lord. She goes on to say, they must perform their duty and leave the results with God. Amen. She says, as the opposition arises to a fiercer height, the servants of God are again perplexed, for it seems to them that they have brought the crisis. Now, it's very interesting because this statement is unbelievable because in this statement, the servant of the Lord is actually saying the crisis, the opposition, actually going to get higher and more fierce than it was prior to this, which is you can't imagine. And so they're led to believe maybe I did bring this crisis on. But conscience and the Word of God assure them that their course is right. In other words, they're taking an assessment of their conscience and they're saying, you know what, listen, I've done nothing wrong. And the Word of God is telling me I am on the right track. And so this is where you got to be a student of the Word of the Lord. Assures them that their course is right. And although the trials continue, they are strengthened to bear them. So the Lord will give you the necessary strength and faith when the crisis comes. You don't need this kind of faith and strength now. You understand? But you're going to need it then. And when that happens, God will be there to help you. The contest grows closer and sharper, but their faith and courage rise with the emergency. Their testimony is, we dare not tamper with God's word, dividing His holy law, calling one portion essential and the other non-essential to gain the favor of the world. The Lord, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Christ, that's the same thing that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said. Christ has conquered the powers of the earth, and shall we be afraid of the world already conquered? Amen. He's already conquered them. Persecution in its varied forms is the development of a principle which will exist as long as Satan exists and Christianity has vital power. No man can serve God without enlisting himself in opposition to the host of darkness. Evil angels will assail him, alarmed that his influence is taking the prey from their hands. Evil men, rebuked by his example, will unite with them in seeking to separate him from God by alluring temptations. So evil angels and evil people will unite together to do everything they can to stop God's people. And notice, by alluring temptations. Alluring temptations. Oh, friends, listen, Satan's going to attack you from every angle. If in the beginning enthusiasm and fear and doesn't move you, then he will do, allurements, rewards, He'll throw rewards your way. If that doesn't work, then he'll bring persecution. When these do not succeed, then a compelling power is employed to force the conscience. And that's again, dear friends, by the way, just to show you something, the reason there, the whole spirit behind these, the forced mandatory vaccines, that's the spirit of Satan. That's not the spirit of God. That tells you everything you need to know who's behind these vaccines and what's really going on. Friends, it's of Satan. That's what it is. Period. Look at the spirit. That's not of God. But as long as Jesus remains man's intercessor in the sanctuary above, the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit is felt by rulers and people. It still controls, to some extent, the laws of the land. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Friends, praise God. The Holy Spirit is holding back these things from really letting loose. Were it not for these laws, the condition of the world would be much worse than it is, than now is. Think about that. And here in the United States, thank the Lord for the Bill of Rights. And of course, for those of you in England, I want to tell you, you know, our Bill of Rights were framed based on the Bill of Rights, the English Bill of Rights from 1689. Oh, I wish some of you would study the glorious revolution of 1688 and 89. Man, I really wish you would study that. That is absolutely one magnificent event in the history of the human race. Praise God for the Puritans. While many of our leaders are active agents of Satan, God also has his agents among the leading men of the nation. Amen. God's got his people there too, friends. The enemy moves upon his servants to propose measures that would greatly impede the work of God. But statesmen who fear the Lord are influenced by holy angels to oppose such propositions with unanswerable arguments. Woo! Boy, I can't wait to hear those arguments. Thus, a few men will hold in check a powerful current of evil. Notice, only a few, but nonetheless, under the unction of the Spirit, they will be able to hold back, at least for a period of time, this evil current. The opposition of the enemies of truth will be restrained, that the third angel's message may do its work. And that's the whole point. Why is God allowing us this time? Friends, we've got to do the Lord's work. We've got to finish what he's called us to do. And so the opposition of the enemies of the truth will be restrained, that the third angel's message may do its work. When the final warning shall be given, it will arrest the attention of the leading men through whom the Lord is now working. And some of them will accept it and will stand with the people of God through the time of trouble. Great controversy, page 607 and 6 through 611. Dear friends, let me tell you, I don't know how else to state this other than to state what I've been sharing with you. What's happening today is preparing you, or at least God's trying to prepare you. And I don't know what you're doing personally in your lives, but you've got to understand that unless we get serious about our Christian experience, there is no hope. I don't care. You're not going to be able to withstand the overwhelming flood of temptations. It's just not going to happen. You won't have the strength to stand. Let me tell you this, dear friends. One thing this crisis has taught me is that I don't have the strength to stand. I can tell you that on my own. I need God. I need the Lord to help me, because I know in myself I don't have the power to withstand temptation that Satan's going to be bringing. I don't have it. I don't have the courage. I don't have the strength. I mean, I'm realizing more and more I am helpless. And may God help us, dear friends, before it's too late. Jesus is coming. There's no question, dear friend. This is not the time to lay back and take it easy and think you've got more time. Oh, like the evil servant in Matthew 24. He said in his My Lord delays his coming. He became indifferent. He was lackadaisical about his spiritual experience. He didn't care. He went back watching television, went back doing, reading this, watching this, listening to that, doing this. He didn't care. He didn't want to prepare his soul. He didn't want to prepare his soul. So the question comes to you and I, dear friends, because you and I are in one of those two categories. We're either preparing ourselves to be the wise servant, or we're going to be a foolish servant, an evil servant. And I pray to the good Lord Jesus Christ that you and I will be about our Father's affairs and do all that we can in the most winning way possible to allow Christ to work in us both the will and to do of his good pleasure, that in the end, dear friends, we'll be shining examples of what it means to be a Christian. And you say, listen, Brother Ray, I've let the Lord down. I've not been that type of person I should be. I've not been the Christian I ought to be. I've said things, done things that I'm ashamed of, and I don't feel like I'm qualified. Well, you're never going to feel you're qualified. And you're never going to realize, you know that you've ever really arrived, and rightly so. But let me tell you this, dear friends, where grace abounded, or where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You need not fear, dear Lord. The Lord loves you. He doesn't want you lost. God does not want you cast away. That's why he's doing everything he can. The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so I'm appealing to you. You turn to the Lord. He will forgive you. He will have mercy upon you. And I know Satan's going to come and say, you don't pray. Don't pray. Don't ask God to forgive you, because he won't forgive you. You're corrupt. You're evil. You're a pervert. You are psychopathic in so many ways. Satan's going to be playing with your mind, but you got to persevere and you got to cling to Jesus, because what's the alternative? Go to Satan? So, dear friends, I pray that you prepare your hearts. Surrender to God now. Give your life to him. If you've never committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do so. Just surrender. Just bow your heads and ask him, Jesus, I don't know how to believe. I don't know what to do, but I'm asking you, please help me. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And Lord, help me to follow you. And I'm going to tell you something. The moment you pray that simple little prayer, I'm going to tell you, watch out, because here it comes. The Holy Spirit is going to baptize you like the witch you've never known. And you're going to see miracles start to take place in your life. So I'm going to leave it here. We're going to pick up on our next meeting later on. All right? And we're going to continue on with our series. Friends, Jesus is coming. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Not on one another, but on the Lord. And may God bless you. And I thank you for this time. Let us pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity that we have to spend this time together in study and meditation. We pray that you'll grace us with your presence and help us each one, dear God, to stay faithful and true. Now, Lord, through Christ our Lord, I pray that you will forgive us all. Oh, Lord, please wash us in the blood of our Lord and Savior and retain our names in the book of life. And I pray, dear God, at last to have our sins to be blotted out. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now, we pray. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.